Good Saturday to you all, and welcome to this 13th day of October, day 285 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter. This is the Daily Radio Bible. We're coming to you from the Tin Can Turtle. That is the Airstream trailer parked next to my garage here in the beautiful state of New Jersey. And it's a beautiful fall day. Finally today, it feels a bit like fall. We've had a lot of gray days in the last, 2 weeks or so, it seems like. Gray, a little bit humid. Seemed like it was unseasonably warm, but today we've got a little chill in the air. And the sky just opened up. It's nice and blue out. And it feels like fall. I love this. Of course, I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods, but I do hope that you're able to find moments of reflection, moments where you are able to see God's grandeur, even in the little things. Today we're going to break into this little book of Nehemiah, once again, chapter 7 and 8, and then we finish our reading. Nope, change that. It's actually Nehemiah 9 and 10, and then Acts chapter 2. And we're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in here, Nehemiah chapter 9. On October 31st, the people assembled again, and this time they fasted and dressed in burlap and sprinkled dust on their heads. Those of the Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners as they confessed their own sins and the sins of their ancestors. They remained standing in place for 3 hours while the book of the law of the Lord their God was read aloud to them. Then for 3 more hours, they confessed their sins and worshiped the Lord their God. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Kenani, stood on the stairway of the Levites and cried out to the Lord their God with loud voices. Then the leaders of the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, Pethahiah, called out to the people. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, for he lives from everlasting to everlasting. Then they prayed. May your glorious name be praised. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him from Ur of the Chaldeans and renamed him Abraham. When he proved himself faithful, you made a covenant with him to give him and his descendants the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites. And you have done what you promised, for you are always true to your word. You saw the misery of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. You displayed miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, his officials, and all his people, for you knew how arrogantly they were treating our ancestors. You have a glorious reputation that has never been forgotten. You divided the Red Sea for your people so they could walk through on dry land. And then you hurled their enemies into the depths of the sea. They sank like stones beneath the mighty waves. You led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, so they could find their way. You came down at Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and instructions that were just, and decrees and commands that were good. You instructed them concerning your holy Sabbath. And you commanded them through Moses your servant to obey all your commands, decrees, and instructions. You gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land you swore to give to them. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, graciousness, and merciful, slow to become angry, rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them, even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." They committed terrible blasphemies. But in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Then you helped our ancestors conquer kingdoms and nations, and you placed your people in every corner of the land. They took over the land of King Sihon of Heshbon and the land of King Og of Bashan. You made their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and brought them into the land you had promised to their ancestors. They went back in and took possession of the land. You subdued whole nations before them. Even the Canaanites who inhabited the land were powerless. Your people could deal with these nations and their kings as they pleased. Our ancestors captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took over houses full of good things with cisterns already dug, and vineyards and olive groves and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate until they were full and grew fat and enjoyed themselves in all your blessings. But despite all this, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who warned them to return to you. And they committed terrible blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies, who made them suffer. But in their time of trouble they cried to you, and you heard them from heaven. In your great mercy you sent them liberators who rescued them from their enemies. But as soon as they were at peace, your people again committed evil in your sight, and once more you let their enemies conquer them. Yet whenever your people turned and cried to you again for help, you listened once more from heaven. In your wonderful mercy you rescued them many times. You warned them to return to your law, but they became proud and obstinate and disobeyed your commands. They did not follow your regulations, by which people will find life if they only obey. They stubbornly turned their backs on you and refused to listen. In your love, you were patient with them for many years. You sent your spirit who warned them through the prophets, but still they wouldn't listen. So once again you allowed the people of the land to conquer them. But in your great mercy, you did not destroy them completely or abandon them forever. What a gracious and merciful God you are. And now, our God, the great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love, do not let all the hardships we have suffered seem insignificant to you. Great trouble has come upon us and upon our kings and leaders and priests and prophets and ancestors, all of your people, from the days when the kings of Assyria first triumphed over us until now. Every time you punished us, you were being just. We have sinned greatly, and you gave us only what we deserved. Our kings, leaders, priests, and ancestors did not obey your law or listen to your warnings in your commands and laws. Even while they had their own kingdom, they did not serve you, though you showered your goodness on them. You gave them a large, fertile land, but they refused to turn from their wickedness. So now today, we are slaves in the land of plenty that you gave our ancestors for their enjoyment. We are slaves here in this good land. The lush produce of this land piles up in the hands of the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They have power over us and our livestock. We serve them at their pleasure, and we are in great misery. The people responded, "In view of all this, we are making a solemn promise and putting it in writing. On this sealed document are the names of our leaders and Levites and priests." Nehemiah 10. The document was ratified and sealed with the following names: the governor, Nehemiah son of Hechaliah, and also Zedekiah. The following priests: Seraiah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Milkishah, Hattush, Shabaniah, Maluch, Harim, Merimoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnathon, Baruch, Meshulam, Abijah, Majimin, Maziah, Bilgiah, and Shemaiah. These were the priests. The following Levites: Jeshua, son of Azaniah, Banui, from the family of Hanadad, Kadmiel, and their fellow Levites: Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kalita, Peliah, Hanan, Mika, Rohab, Heshbiah, Zakur, Sherbiah, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Bani, Benunu. The following leaders: Perosh, Pahath, Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Asgard, Bebaya, Adonijah, Bigvaya, Adin, Ater, Hezekiah, Azur, Hodiah, Hashum, Beziah, Harif, Anathoth, Nebiah, Magpisiash, Meshulam, Hazir, Mashzabel, Zedok, Jadua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Aniah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Heshub, Helohesh, Pilha, Shobak, Rehum, Heshashabna, Masiah, Ahayah, Hanan, Anan, Maluch, Harim, and Banach. Then the rest of the people, the priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who had separated themselves from the pagan people of the land, in order to obey the law of God, together with their wives, sons, daughters, and all who were old enough to understand, joined their leaders and bound themselves with an oath. They swore a curse on themselves if they failed to obey the law of God as issued by his servant Moses. They solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord. We promise not to let our daughters marry the pagan people of the land and not to let our sons marry their daughters. We also promise that if the people of the land should bring any merchandise or grain to be sold on the Sabbath or on any other holy day, we will refuse to buy it. Every seventh year we will let our land rest and we will cancel all debts owed to us. In addition, we promise to obey the command to pay the annual temple tax of 1/8 of an ounce of silver for the care of the temple of our God. This will provide for the bread of the presence, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbath and new moon celebrations and the annual festivals, for the holy offerings and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel. It will provide for everything necessary for the work of the temple of our God. We have cast sacred lots to determine when, at regular times each year, the families of the priests and Levites and the common people should bring wood to God's temple to be burned on the altar of the Lord our God, as is written in the law. We promise to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple year after year, whether it be a crop from the soil or from our fruit trees. We agree to give God our oldest sons and the firstborn of our herds and flocks as prescribed in the law. We will present them to the priests who minister in the temple of our God. We will store the produce in the storerooms of the temple of our God. We will bring the best of our flour and the other grain offerings, the best of our fruit, and the best of our new wine and olive oil. And we promise to bring the Levites a tenth of everything our land produces. For it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all our rural towns. A priest, a descendant of Aaron, will be with the Levites as they receive their tithes, and a tenth of all that is collected as tithes will be delivered by the Levites to the temple of our God and placed in the storerooms. The people and the Levites must bring these offerings of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms and place them in the sacred containers near the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers. We promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthian, Mede, Elamite, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the provinces of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he's right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven. Yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. About 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now may our risen Lord, may he now give us his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. It's finally happened. A nuclear explosion has gone off of immeasurable proportions. Jesus has succeeded in everything he has set out to do. And he will continue to succeed in restoring his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. He will succeed in the same way that he succeeded in the life of Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, all the apostles. He will succeed through the miracle of new birth. Re-inhabiting men and women, human beings created to be vessels of God's presence. He will continue transforming people from the inside out, one person after another. Resurrection life is here, and it's now. As he inhabits us with himself, a chain reaction happens of exponential proportion, and the kingdom advances and grows. 120 people jammed into an upper room, once cowering and afraid, were united with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. And people from all over the world began hearing and understanding. Their hearts were transformed and set free, and forgiveness was offered to all. And that reaction continues. It hasn't stopped since this moment that we read about today. It continues on, and people all over the world are responding to the message and the person of Jesus. Resurrection life is now offered to all, to whoever believes, repents, surrenders their life to Jesus. There is power, life, and forgiveness available to all. It's moving out into the highways and byways. It's reaching people of every nation and tongue and tribe. You know, Operation World has said that the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran and Afghanistan. Unheard of numbers of Muslims are coming to Christ. The message is being multiplied. Gospel message is going forward because Jesus has succeeded. He has triumphed over death and the grave, and there's nothing in this world that can stop him. Overwhelming victory is his and ours through him. What an amazing story and beginning this is. But it's only the beginning. He's still at work. He's still using his word each day to finish the work in our lives that he's faithfully begun. It's a journey of renewal, restoration, rehabilitating our hearts and minds as one follower at a time begins to experience the with God life now. Walk in the light of what Jesus has done. He has succeeded for you. May we all experience more and more of the overwhelming victory that is ours in Christ. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. It's a prayer that I have for my family, for my wife and my daughters and my son. That's a prayer that I have for you. What's the prayer that you have for those that are closest to you? May that be so. DailyRadioBible.com. That's our home base. That's where we're always hanging our hat. That's where you're always welcome to stop on by. And when you do, make sure you drop us a note, will you? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Hey, before I let you go, just want to say a big hello to my brother, Ken McDonald. Ken, always great to hear from you, my brother. Ken and Candace, may God bless you, your family. May God bless that little town of Three Hills, Alberta. All the many students that have converged upon there to experience the with God life, to train their hearts in the gospel, in the way of the gospel. Hey, speaking of that, I also want to send a shout out to Stephen Ibbotson. Stephen, thank you so much for the thoughtful emails that you are faithful to send me. Appreciate that, brother. Blessings to you and your family. Well, hey, my friends, we have done it again, but hey, let me pause that little exit speech there and remind those folks that are here in the Central Jersey area that might be looking for a home church to stop on by here at Zarephath Christian Church. We have services on Saturday evening, 5:30 p.m., and Sunday morning at 9 and 11 a.m., and we would love to have you come join us, so consider that. All right, now let's get back to that little ending speech. I plan on being back here again tomorrow, friends, to do the same thing that we've done today, Lord willing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be right back here in this tin can turtle Airstream trailer parked next to my garage here in the beautiful state of New Jersey. Until that time, what do you say we go forward in God's joy? Let's let his joy be our strength. And let us remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.